Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Happy New Year once again. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 4th and 5th. We all know after 22 years in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, when a season opens or reopens, indeed cause for a New Year celebration. Today, the statewide archery deer season opens Sussex down to Cape May and all in between. Hey, just a reminder, antlered buck permits for the permit bow season must be purchased by November 1st. By 11:59 p.m. after hours, go to njfishandwildlife.com. They're going to nail you online an extra $5, I think, or whatever the fee is. But it's worth it. Plenty of deer. Herd looks great. Still those two DMZs down here in the south that are closed for the permit season, but that's the way it is. Hey, a really jammed show coming up. Hot new bait. Hey, new product corner, Rack and Fin Radio. Coming up in our next segment, we have Courtney Marie Wozniak, Vice President of Marketing for Fish Bites. Hot new bait out there just in time for fall. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Hunting, fishing, fall, October. Doesn't get any better than this.
Eagles football on 97.3 ESPN. The Eagles are back in Philly tomorrow afternoon for a Week 5 battle with the Denver Broncos.
Hurts lines them up again. He rolls. He looks. He is going deep. And it is caught. And it is a touchdown, Devontae Smith. He took it away from the Broncos.
Pre-game coverage begins at noon. Merrill and Mike call all the action starting at 1 p.m. This is where the Eagles play. 97.3 ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious first weekend in October, October 4th and 5th. Hey, good morning, people. You're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m. to 50,000 mega far-reaching terrestrial radio watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live, 97.3 ESPN.com. Download the 97.3 app to get to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast, or go to Apple, Spotify, or YouTube or other platforms. It's usually posted this afternoon, Saturday, or Sunday sometime. The Rack and Fin Radio message is out there. I'm the present and always influential. Some breaking news here on the fishing front. We all know the mullet run has actually started about a week and a half ago. It is going gangbusters. Ho-ho! How coincidental. Fish Bites, the world-renowned Fish Bites, everyone knows Fish Bites, just released, well, they released it a little while ago. I was able to get my hands on a few packs. Their 5-inch mullet, Mary Mother of God. Is this a bait? Now, people say, Tom P., you know, mullet, yeah, bluefish, stripers. What about the redfish? People don't realize, back in the, I guess, 30s through the 50s, early 60s, Ocean City, New Jersey was considered the redfish capital of the Mid-Atlantic region. No lie. Google it. Check it out. Now redfish have been making a big comeback. People say, oh, it's the climate change, the global. No, it's the water's cleaner. Redfish are back. Bite going on from Cape May up to around past Stone Harbor. I'd say Sea Isle, Avalon area in the back. It's going to be getting better. And what a redfish like, more than I love anchovy pizza. Mullet, baby. Mullet. I can't wait to get these fish bites out there. Some are out there already via field test. Some of the Rack and Fin Radio pro staffers. And it is kicking redfish ass. So let's get the lowdown on it with Courtney Wozniak. She is the Vice President of Marketing for Fish Bites, which is based in St. Augustine, Florida. She's not there. She's a little bit further north. Joining us this morning, Courtney Marie Wozniak. How are you?
Tom P., I am great, my friend. How are you?
What a bait, Wozniak! Holy God! Okay, we got some bass on bluefish. Wow! Nailed one and a half. I mean, they're tough baits, but, you know, what do you do with the bluefish? Courtney, this, I know it's been kicking gang of us or whatever down south. It's moving up here. The design of this, the year, I mean, how long in the making, and the release could have been timed more perfectly. Go!
Yeah, so obviously we've had this mullet scent in the vault, right? You know, we were waiting for the right time to release it. So, I mean, they're getting exactly what they want. You know, this is packed with the flavor scent technology. That is the mullet scent. So late last year, we released that Easy Bait mullet. We released the Easy Pro mullet. So, you know, those are more your traditional fish bites that you're looking for. Yep. And then this year we said, hey, let's make a mullet swim bait, 5-inch mullet. We released it at ICAST, new product showcase. It's crushing it. It's absolutely crushing it. It is packed full of that mullet scent. It's got great action in that tail.
You
mentioned redfish. They're crushing it.
They talk about motion. I have some good dance moves for an old white guy. Let me tell you something. But this thing, man, this thing really moves. Now, Courtney, is it a different division of Fish Bites? The Fight Club. This started a few years ago, different packaging, whatever. Explain the Fight Club format for us, please.
Sure. So, Fight Club, the Fish Bites Fight Club lures, that is the line of our soft lures, not like your traditional plastics. Keep that in mind. This is a totally different hydrogel mixture that we created. The 5-inch mullet, that makes 6 shapes for us. So we've got 6 shapes in the Fight Club series. We've got the mullet, we've got the 6-inch grub, the fightin' shrimp, the jerk bait. We've got that butt kicker paddle tail, and of course, the flounder, the fluke killer, the 5-inch dirty boxer curly tail. So we were super excited to add that 5-inch mullet to the mix.
Courtney, the field testing for this, I know Fish Bites, you guys just don't put stuff out there. It's Fish Bites label, it's going to sell. No, I know extensive field testing went into this. How long, it was in the vault. How long before, the brainstorming there, you, Mike Terry, a whole bit said, hey, man, we have something here. Let's get it on the water first and then get it out to the angling public. How long did that take?
Sure. So several months just creating the mold for this. We really looked at it. Terry and the whole team were huge believers in quality. And so we wanted to make sure that this was the perfect shape for this, that it swam right, that the fins looked good. You even see the scale pattern in it.
Mm-hmm.
So several months of just creating that design. Of course, we had that mullet scent in the vault that we released. And then, we just wanted to get it out into the hands of our pro staff. We sent it to several different captains. Captain Rick Murphy had it. Captain Blair Wiggins had it.
Blair Wiggins from Addictive Fishing?
That's right.
Are you kidding? I did work with him too way back. Courtney, listen to me, Wazzy. You weren't even born yet.
Probably right.
Blair and Rick, they are studs. Listen, I'm saying out of the air right now, Courtney, next time you see Captain Rick Murphy, ask him about Tom P taking a pee and the banana spiders by his trailer. Back then he was in a trailer. Let me tell you something. He'll still crack up, man.
I can only imagine. But yeah, so like I said, we had this out in the field for a while. We did make some tweaks to it. Of course, after some extensive testing, we wanted to make sure that it swam perfectly. We made a couple of changes to that tail.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you what, it swims like a dream. It casts, you could cast this thing a country mile.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a fantastic bait. So, months out in the field to get it perfect.
Listeners, it is the Fish Bites, that's their fight club division for, whatever you want to call it. But it's the 5-inch mullet. I see the colors Haymaker, Slammer, and White Knuckle. As Courtney said, the swimming action is beautiful. Courtney, now how do you fish this? I could see a weighted worm hook. I could see a jig head. I could see guys just, and the weight itself, especially on the flats. We have the Harvest Moon coming where the redfish is going to get right up in there, even just on a standard offset worm hook. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I like to put it on the weighted weedless hook, but jig heads work fine. You just obviously got to find the sweet spot,
mm-hmm.
make sure it's centered perfectly so it'll swim straight, and you got it, yeah. But I definitely recommend the weighted weedless hook. We actually have our own weighted weedless hooks.
Whoa. I'm the last to know this?
No.
Listen to me, Courtney.
We're working on a little something.
Is it available now? Because I'll get on the site, give you guys a card number, get some up there. Do you have them available now?
We do have some available. We're doing a little bit of a redesign on them, so stay tuned. We'll do a re-release of them. But, yeah, we've got an entire line of Fight Club jig heads, an entire line of Fight Club weedless hooks. Like I said, we're doing some tweaking to them right now, but when they get back up and ready and in stock, we'll do a re-release on them.
Okay, Courtney, so like I said,
perfect.
A couple of the captains that I pro staffers here for Rack and Fin are using them catching fish with it. Now, Courtney, these things, once you're finished a day fishing, out they go. They're totally biodegradable, correct? You don't put them back in the package. It's not like a plastisol, so you just get rid of them that way?
Exactly. Don't put them back in the package. You want to keep the integrity of the other baits that are still in there, because you may still have baits left. You know, these things last forever. Cast after cast, fish after fish, keep catching. Don't put them back in the bag.
The stripers beat them up, and these things were still there. But when those bluefish came in, oof, you know.
It's hard for anything to survive a bluefish, right?
Courtney, now I'm fascinated with the scent technology. Fish Bites is proprietary. I get that. Do these things start emitting scent as soon as they hit the water, or does it progress as it submerged more? What's the dealio?
Yeah, as soon as it hits the water, it's going to start releasing the scent. the hydrogel matrix that these lures are made of. It actually allows water to pass through it. So as that water passes through it, it's releasing the scent, creates that scent trail. So yeah, boom, as soon as it hits the water, and let's say you're moving, you know, you're heading to a different spot, you know, you put it on the hook keep and you still got that bait on there. You may see it start to get a little stiff. Cause again, it's not your traditional plastic bait.
Mm-hmm.
You might see it get a little stiff, put that baby right back in the water. It'll reconstitute. You'll see that tail start swimming again. It's good to go.
Okay, Courtney, up against a hard break, but two other things I want to mention. The Easy Mullet Silver Flesh, that half-inch by 12-inch strips. So it's like that. I call them the linguine, the regular fish bites, the blood worm.
Yeah.
This thing looks like it's going to be an absolute killer. I can't wait to try it. We're going to hopefully try it this weekend into next week. In the back, high-low rig. I can see it just basically catching everything. I'm going to try this on sea bass. Also, Court, the Easy Pro Mullet Silver Flesh, the 1.5-inch by 4-inch. A captain I spoke with says, they only have, about 18 miles of shoreline. Guys are using this up in New Hampshire, Wasig, and catching cod with it.
Oh,
have you heard that yet? I have. These guys are beyond reliable.
Oh yeah, yeah. We've seen catches from all over the world happening with this mullet bait. It is really, there's nothing like it on the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm just being completely honest with you, Tom, there's nothing like this flavor scent mullet on the market.
And it
is catching everything.
And it's right there at Fish Bites. If you have a Fish Bite store, people want a person, then I imagine it's some dealers around ask for it. The mullet runs on, going to last a few more weeks at least. Now we have the specs coming up, and they key on the last of the mullet. We had some specs up here, 4 or 5 pounds, hitting the corn cob mullet, that are, you know, 6, 7 inches, 8 inches.
Wow.
So, like, yeah, so Jersey, it's we're still a hidden gem. We're known out front with the tuna and all that stuff and the tog on the wrecks. In the back, Courtney, we're not quite, you know, the North Carolina air, but we have our great game fish up here.
Yeah, I'd love to come up there and fish with you sometime, Tom.
And first, listen to me. First, you're gonna have to get on some of my lakes with this catfish bait that you guys have. That guys, what are you using? Oh, they're the saltwater company. They don't make catfish. I said I'm showing you the package, but hey, listen to me. Some of our catfish waters. Outfished chicken livers and Oscar Mayer cheese wieners. I kid you not. The yellow and the liver colored. Courtney, it was great. Hey, listen, you guys expanding it all more into fresh water?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, we had this catfish bait release. Again, nothing like it on the market. It's the stink bait that doesn't stink.
Yep.
Stays on the hook super long, catches, you know, trophy cats. Guys on the tournament trail are using it, and, you know, so we're super proud of that. And then we're like, man, you know, maybe we should, you know, come up with the freshwater line. We're like, do we need a freshwater line? We've got this amazing Fish Bites Fight Club lures that work just the same in freshwater. We're talking, people are using these on the bass tournament trails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are absolutely crushing bass, and many other freshwater species on these Fight Club lures. Why would we create a new line? We've got it, right?
It's so right, yeah.
We're going to start marketing, you know, the Fight Club lures, you know, more to that freshwater market, because we know that it works. We've got pro staffers out there using it saying, wow, you know, I wish I would have known sooner.
And there you go. We have Courtney Marie Wasig, the Vice President of Marketing, Fish Bites based in St. Augustine. Topic is the new mullet baits that are out there in the Fight Club, the 5-inch mullet. They have the haymaker pattern, the slammer, and the white knuckle. Great tail action. The Senka and the redfish are up here. Get in the back and find these baits somewhere. Get them and use them. And you also have Easy Mullet and the half inch by 12 inch two count. And it's this big basement. I can't wait to. I'm going to try them on a Seabass out front next week. The 1.5 by 4 inch, just cut them in half and put them down there. Well, Corey, I will say one thing. Listeners, you have to understand Wozniak. She's not just someone behind a computer and going to sales meetings. She is on the water a lot. I mean, a lot, a lot. And by the way, Wozniak, you look great in a rack and fin tank.
That's right.
How big was that fluke you're down there floundering? How big was that flounder you were holding? About 5 pounds?
That was a big one. That was a big one. And it's all due to that tank top. I mean, you gotta catch the big flounder when you got that tank top. There was a lot of pressure, right? I think that was an 18 or 19 inch. It was a good flatty.
Touche, Wozniak, touche. Hey, listen, best of luck. Great line out there. Best of Terry and Mike and the whole crew down there. Hope to see you soon.
Absolutely. We're celebrating 25 years this year, Tom. 25 years of
Wow.
Fish Bites.
Wow. Real fast, give that website Facebook, please.
That's fishbites.com, and then all of our handles are at Fish Bites, but definitely ask for Fish Bites by name in your local tackle shop.
Courtney, you take care. Have a good fall season, girl.
Appreciate you, Tom.
See you. Absolutely amazing bait. Yeah, we have some out there, and we're getting some reds. There's going to be more on this. More on the reds next week. We have a captain who's very familiar with them, has watched the comeback, remember them from way back when, and that's these baits are doing it. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
This Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, the Rose Bowl turns electric as Penn State storms into UCLA territory. Join Brett Dolan and 1992 Heisman Trophy winner Gino Toretta, Penn State at UCLA, Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on this Touchdown Radio station.
It's College Football Saturday on South Jersey's classic rock station, Rock 104.1.
College Football Saturday, brought to you by First Bank of Sea Isle City.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go, look out below, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. That was Courtney Marie Wozniak. Check out the new Fish Bites Fight Club, the mullet. It's going to be a banger. It is a banger. Oh, boy. Do it now. Hey, just a reminder, birds were stocked yesterday for today. I'm talking chuckers for dog training purposes in 11 wildlife management areas around the state up north. It's Black River, Pequest, Whittingham, and Clinton. Rack and Fin Radio area listening area central. Assunpink, Hyers Mills, Manasquan, and Stafford Forge. In the southern tier counties, Glassboro, Millville, and Tuckahoe. They're going to be stocked late Friday afternoons for dog training purposes on Saturdays for today the 4th, also the 11th, 18th, and 25th. Remember, you cannot gun them. This is dog training purposes only. Another reminder, too, time is running out to register for the absolutely fantastic, wildly popular youth pheasant hunt. Okay, the application period closes on October 15th. Here to go into an incredible program, a lot of pheasant, and went from one day, now you can hunt into the next week, the youngsters again, is Joe Lesky, the famous Joe Lesky, frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio, especially this time of year. Joe is a DEP Fish and Wildlife Principal, biologist, and also the coordinator of the R3 program. And let's talk the youth pheasant hunt. Mr. Lesky, how you doing?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
And his phone tag thing's pretty insane, ain't it?
Love it. It gets me ready for the season.
Joe, listen, the kids are, I've talked to a dozen or so, wired, fired, otherwise inspired for this hunt. Now, registration closes on the 15th, correct?
That is correct. So we got a couple weeks here.
And Joe, that's a very aggressive, very invigorating program. All these quality birds are spread throughout the state. And you have some great volunteers, guides with dogs. Go into the program itself. How long has it been around? And listen, it's going to be November 1st, and then the following week, November 3rd through the 7th, the youngsters can hunt, and there's other management areas that they can hunt as well. Joe, go into it, please.
Yeah, well, this is a golden opportunity. It is a major recruitment program for our youth. And if you think about it, when this program started 25-plus years ago...
Ooh, that long?
Yeah.
Holy God.
Yeah, you blink an eye, right?
So, I hear you, man. Quarter century gone.
Yeah, we have now parents who are like, yeah, I went through the program, you know, yep, in the early 2000s, and now I want to take my child out there and take advantage of it. So You know, registration, we got, I checked yesterday, we're at 142. We generally carry in about 200 plus youth out there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's a great opportunity to get out there and get some action. And we got some great, you know, the volunteers are either dog handlers, you know, they're coordinators for the sites, or they're just there to make sure that it's a good, safe, ethical hunt to the best of, you know, what we could do in our abilities.
So you're a volunteer. Shout out to Scott McGay from New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. Very involved with this program. Very involved.
They love it. They love it.
Okay, Joe, now I understand priority will be given to first-time participants, correct?
Yeah, we, you know, it's such a great program that youth come back year after year after year, which is fantastic. But we do want to make sure that if there's somebody who hasn't participated before, that they do get priority. But nowadays, we do, you know, we're able to fit most participants registering for each of the sites.
And Joe, now that besides the first, what's the deal for the following week?
Yeah, so a few years ago, they came up with the, well, let's not just, you know, there's going to be leftover pheasants. We all know that. So after that Saturday, which is that guided hunt on the 8 wildlife management areas, we open it up to the 10, the 8 that were originally stocked for the Saturday, the first. And then during that following week, we allow, under regular hunting conditions, for the youth with a licensed, properly licensed adult to go out there and continue hunting for that week. So it's a great opportunity. And that kind of leads them into how it's going to be when they go out on their own, or, you know, when they get older. So it's more of a natural feel for that situation.
And Joe, the numbers appear they are, the numbers are strong insofar as you guys fill up. I mean, it is full. And listen, this is a rain or shine event, man. And so I've seen it sometimes when it was pouring rain. I mean, those kids were there. The adults were there. The dogs were there. And it was all systems go.
Yeah, those birds get a lot heavier when they're soaked.
Well, Joe, again, participation. The R3 program itself, the recruitment, retain, reactivate, whatever. You're seeing steady numbers, correct? Slowly creeping upwards because, you know, the trend has been going downwards nationwide. Here, how are we doing?
Yeah, so it's a very difficult, you know, pin to put in there because different things happen, different populations that are huntable go up and down. So when there's a hot topic, you know, people are going to be, all right, there's an increase in deer hunters. There's a decrease in turkey hunters, you know, so there's those ebbs and flows of it. But pound for pound, we are, you know, holding pretty steady. And when it comes to youths generally have some sort of mentorship, you know,
right.
Father, mother, uncle, aunt, whoever, who will take them under their wing, so to speak, and get them out there. So it is still a pretty steady, you know, sustained amount of youth hunters that we have out there, as well as adult hunters.
And, Joe, I think it's super that you run into youngsters, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the line, as it's been, that already, you know, participated in the program when they were, you know, the 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, what have you.
Well, here's the beauty is they can continue passing on that tradition. So, yeah, as they're 25, 30 years old, they're like, yeah, I did, you know, the youth take a kid hunt back in the day. Well, come out there and be a dog handler or mentor, or you just want to come buy a cup of coffee and register the youth and send them on their way. It's fantastic because it's a great opportunity.
Joe, I remember this was years and years ago. I give it a good 15, 18 maybe. I was at a WAMA that was stocked in the youth programs. I spoke to a dad and his daughter. She was about, I guess, about 11, 12, maybe 13. And just, she said, mister, and she's holding up two fingers. She was so excited. I said, you got two pheasants, young lady? She says, no, but I had two shots. But, you know, I missed. But wow. This kid was bouncing off the freaking tree. She was so excited. The experience there in that quality environment. Yeah, because, Joe, you will admit, Saturdays, especially during the stocking season, it gets crowded. Especially in the mornings, you know? And here they have wide open space. They have dogs. You have mentors. It's a win-win-win across the board.
Yeah, it's a controlled environment, so they can kind of get used to that cackle when he flies up, because that will get your blood flowing quite, quite rapidly when that bird flushes up like that. So get them in a safe, controlled environment to enjoy that and kind of get hooked by that feeling. So that's the important part.
Hey, Joe, I still get discombobulated even when the hen bird goes up.
Oh, yeah. Forget about it.
Now, Joe, you have other youth programs as well. You have youth waterfowl, the youth deers, have the youth turkey. Win-win across the board participation in those steady and rising as well?
Yeah, so I would say steady. Again, it's all about opportunity and then breaking down some of those barriers that, you know, could be harder to, you know, break down later on when they get older. So it's all great opportunities for them to get out there. You know, we have a youth waterfowl mentor hunt going on at the Tuckahoe Wildlife Management Area. So, you know, a lot of great stuff out there to try and recruit those youth into the great, wonderful world of hunting.
And Joe, in Jersey, I'm telling people, I travel, get around, hunt a lot of places. This Jersey is still, again, pick your times, pick your places. Well, Joe, the management areas that were chosen for the stocking, strategically planned as per habitat, as per access, everything combined, what's it about?
Yeah, so you're obviously going to want a situation where you have perhaps many fields, and our Bureau of Land Management do a great job of having those, you know, lands, those fields mowed and ready for a situation like this. It's difficult because Mother Nature will always win, and she's going to keep growing. So getting to those fields so they're not 5 feet high, you know, with goldenrod or something, which would make it difficult. Our crew is out there making sure that these select areas are prepped properly, not just for these youth pheasant days, but also for our pheasant hunters as well.
Okay, joining us on the line is Joe Leske. He's a DEP Fish and Wildlife Principal Wildlife Biologist and also the Fish and Wildlife's R3 Program Coordinator. Topic is the youth pheasant hunt. You have until October 15th. Joe, that's closed in the evening, right? They register online?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and we'll get to that site later. And, Joe, let me say, listen, no late stuff. You can't just walk up and say, hey, I want to register now. No, that's a razor-cut timeline, correct?
Yes, and that's a great point, and thank you for bringing that up, because this is an organized event. We want everybody to do, you know, have a good time, and it gets a little crazy, you know, at that 7 o'clock mark when, you know, the youths are coming in and registering and all. So we are not taking walk-ins. We have and that's why we increased the application period. So you have plenty of time to prepare for this. We have just under 2 weeks left in registration. So yes, please don't just show up and say, I feel like going out there now. We try to accommodate as best we can, but we need to be a little bit organized here.
Listeners, go to page 19 in the 25-26 digest. Page 19, the WAMA Youth Pheasant Hunt Days. All the information is there. Well, Joe, insofar as registering, do you have a, is there an email address or something?
So if they go to Division's website,
njfishandwildlife.com.
Correct. And then go to hunting, and then it's going to be like where to hunt or how to hunt. Scroll down to that, and you're going to find our R3 page. Or if you search, go to NJ Fish and Wildlife on Facebook. All right, put in the search, take a kid. Then that post that we put on there with the direct link will show up, and then you can get in there and register.
Joe, let me ask you this. North, Central, South, about participation about even?
Yes. One kind of interesting note, and I'm sure you know, and your listeners here, is the Peasley Wildlife Management Area. Mm-hmm. What an absolute fantastic piece of property that we have. And I'm always kind of shocked that the number's a little bit lower there. And the Whittingham Wildlife Management Area up north.
Off 611, right?
Yeah. So they're a little less subscribed for. And, you know, it kind of is telling that, you know, some of the other hot spots like Assinpink and Collier's Mills, you know, the Clinton Wildlife Management Area, those are the ones that are usually the first ones to fill up.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a smaller one in Winslow. And it's not because of the size of the Winslow Wildlife Management Area. It's the amount of fields. So we take less participants there as well. But the good news is we usually have enough mentors and enough help with these great volunteers that we're able to fluctuate with our amount of, you know, hunters that we're bringing in.
Joe, for a program 25 years already, wow, it's growing. It's great. Fish and Wildlife, can't say division yet. Hopefully that'll change. Joe's not responsible for that. That's just a fantastic job. I know some of the people involved in the intricate enzyme lands management, especially, that is critical. It's all about the property, how it's managed, how it's, you know, cultivated and whatever, and offers incredible opportunities. The youth is important. That's the future, people. The youth is important. And it's good to see the numbers are still there. With every, you know, all the concerns, you know, computer games, online, you know, social media, all that other stuff, the kids are still getting out there. And all that to the parents and the guardians and the mentors, Joe.
Absolutely.
Question. Which WAMA will you be? Maybe you want to tell me off the air. I'm going to hunt you down, Leskie. I owe you lunch.
I'll be bopping around to as many as I can get to.
Okay, Joe, listen, again, one more time, people want to register, njfishandwildlife.com, and go where?
Go to the hunting and the hunting page, and then you can scroll down, and you'll see the button for the R3 hunting and shooting sports. And you just scroll down, you see all the other great programs that the R3 program is doing, and then just click on the Take a Kid and register today. And just remember, aim small, miss small.
Joe, you take care, man. Great to talk to you again, little brother. I'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
See you, man. Joe Leskie, just a great guy. I think we started back then a division, okay? Back then, I call it Division of Fish, Wildlife, and Health Fisheries. Started about the same time, took different paths, and he's just a great, great guy to know and great guy to work with. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning in the locker room with Billy Schwein. Nick Earnshaw joins me in the studio. We'll get you pumped up for Red October. The Phillies-Dodgers game's on Saturday night. We'll go on the mound with former Phillies pitcher Tommy Green. Brought to you by Blitz's Market of Ocean City. Hour two, we'll talk with two-time World Series champion Johnny Damon about the MLB playoffs. Next, it's our high school athletes in the spotlight with Fran McLaughlin. Brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory, Egg Harbor Township. Eagles talk and more. It's the locker room with Billy Schwein. Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3
ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 4th and 5th. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m. on 97.3 ESPN FM, 50,000 megafar reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, streaming live 97.3ESPN.com. Download the 97.3 app or go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or other platforms to get the Rack and Fin Radio message. The podcast will usually be posted sometime this afternoon, Saturday, or Sunday. It does get out there. Hey, that was Joe Leskie, youth pheasant hunt going on. It is indeed election time rapidly approaching. The October edition of the Fisherman Magazine. Check it out. There's Meet the Candidates. And he's been on Rack and Fin several times. Republican candidate Jack Chitterelli lays it out. His plans when elected governor. Fish, wildlife, everything. He has it covered. The Carpetbaggers platforms on page 14. We don't even want to get into that. But joining us on the line right now is the president of New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, Big John Regalo, and the NJOA, a couple of weeks ago, formally endorsed Jack Chitterelli for governor. As John says, hunting and fishing are on the ballot. And also, we have a great event coming up October 18th. It's the second annual Ed Markowski Memorial Shoot at the Great Red Wing Sporting Clays there on Suey's Landing Road in Port Republic. Sorry, John, I got you jamming here. Let's get going, big brother. How you doing?
Very good. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm talking to Regalo. Come on, man. I'm in some tall cotton. What do you got?
What do we got?
Well, John, listen, let's get right to the election. Critical. NJOA supported Chitterelli. Great endorsement there. The whys.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Immediately after the primary, we reached out to both winners with an invitation for a meeting with the sportsmen to discuss their concerns in New Jersey. And within a few weeks, I was at a private dinner with Jack, and We later had a meeting at his office. Six of us went down, laid out our concerns on the table. Extremely positive response from Jack.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, as far as fish and wildlife and hunters and anglers go, he 100% supports the authority and makeup of the Fish and Game Council.
Bingo. Sorry.
And no legislation will cross his desk and get signed that has anything to do with changing it. That's extremely critical. Those of you that don't know, former Senator Ray Lesniak is now going to try a legislative attack on it since the courts threw him out and said no multiple times. He's now going to try to go legislatively. And if Jack's our governor, it'll never happen.
In my opinion on this, Regalo, nothing to do with John here, that sleazeweasel representative of the county I used to live in up north, I'm not going to mention which, but I didn't like him from the get-go. From the get-go, and he's been, listen, instrumental in trying to stop the bear hunt. Even that that corrupt guy that was run out of Congress, the Torch, I'm not going to even go into his name, he's against the bear. I guess that's the cause celebrity, the bear hunt. That's what's driving this.
And I don't know why. Fish and Wildlife and the Fish and Game Council are simply following the law and sound scientific management. For those that don't live in Northwest Jersey, we have the densest studied population of black bears in all of North America.
Absolutely.
A healthy bear population is one bear for every 2 to 3 square miles of habitat. We have documented here many areas at over 10 bears per square mile. That's an absurd number of bears.
Believe me, Regalo, I've seen it. I've seen it up close and personal, man. And it's something. Beautiful animals. Keep your distance. But the whole thing, John, all the anti-hunting groups, anti-trapping groups, anti-consumptive wildlife users are all banking. Get it through the legislature. And they have unendingly deep pockets, and they just keep going at it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because every time they bring lawsuit or try one of these things, it costs us money that could actually be used instead for conservation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to defend ourselves in the courts, which is absurd.
Well, John, when I had Cittarelli on 4 years ago, which, again, he went to bed in the lead and woke up losing by, 3 points, 2.5 points or whatever.
Yep.
Now, he's a sporting clay shooter, from what I said. He and his son, shout out to Jack, the one son especially. He's in the military. He's a captain. He's unbelievable. But he says, Tom, Second Amendment rights. He is pro-sportsman all the way. I don't know if he actually hunts or fishes, but he realizes the great work that our professional wildlife and fisheries biologists, environmental biologists do. So that's so refreshing, and the other one has already come out against the bear hunt, and not that she can do anything about it, but I know this is, listeners, hunting and fishing and trapping are on the ballot this year, and Regalo, it gets me, especially when it comes to the legal firearm owners, the recalcitrance of getting out to vote. How much easier can you make it with the right and stuff? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, the most disappointing thing of the last go-around here is that Jack only lost by a very narrow margin, about 40,000 votes, and over 700,000 registered Republicans did not cast a ballot. To me, that's very disappointing. You can't think that your vote won't count. You've got to get out there and cast your ballot.
Okay, John, let us get to, listeners, November, vote, please vote. Please vote.
Yep.
Just you have the opportunity. This is America. Vote. Get to the ballot box. Get right into whatever. Just vote. Okay, John, to the second annual Ed Marcassi Memorial Shoot, Sunday, October 18th. Listen, the rain date's going to be October 25th, starting at 9 a.m. I've been going to this place since the early 90s. The wonderful and fun Red Wing Sporting Clays, exit 48 off the Garden State Parkway. Make a right to Suey's Landing Road. Red Wing Sporting Clays, Ed Markowski. I met him first, I think it was 90 or 91 at the South Region office. I think he was a captain.
I thought you were going to tell me he stopped you in the field.
No, he kicked me out of the office Because the dispatcher was one hell of a hot woman at the time. And, of course, I made my move. And he says, get out of here. Oh, yeah. And we ended up being acquaintances, too, getting to the almost friendship level over the years. He was a frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio at his time with the NJOA. A pillar of fighting for the hunting, fishing, and trapping rights for New Jersey sportsmen and women. Unfortunately, taken too soon. I saw him an Atlantic County Federation venison dinner, and he had recovered from. He looked great. He said, "Oh, you, yes. I didn't know you were going to be here, but I didn't let anybody in here." You know, his Markowski sarcasm, and then downhill. And I was crushed when Scotty McGahee called me and told me that he passed.
Yeah.
He was tireless.
I could never replace him. I can tell you that I could never replace him. I tried with a lot of help from the other members of the NJOA to keep us moving forward and doing the right thing on behalf of sportsmen and women.
Mm-hmm.
But Eddie was a one of a kind.
he was.
Broke the mold when they made him.
Boy, when he shot me that look, I said, I don't know what was worse, that look or I guess the 40 he had on his hip. What would have deterred me more? Okay, back to the shoot. Now, listen, sign is at 8 a.m. to 11. The shoot starts at 9 a.m. And let's see, the $75 entry fee, John, what does that include?
Okay, so that's 100 rounds on sporting clays, 15 different stations, as well as they feed you very well. Now, I haven't been to the shoot. I live all the way up in Sussex County, and I haven't been down. But this year, I will be down there. And the people that I know that have gone have nothing but praise for it. A very good event.
John, I'm familiar
with... Nobody goes home hungry.
trust me on that. That's my bellwether, man. But Regal, I'm very fortunate. I go from High Point to Cape May Point, all points in between. Now, a lot of places, New Jersey is absolutely wonderful, so diverse. I mean, I just love it. But, come down to, technically, that's just the beginning of the Southlands. That's where Port Republic starts, the southern tier, kind of like stocking birds and stuff. But, John, it's a great event. Tell you, there are some thick places up there in Sussex, Passaic, and, you know, Morris counties. You ain't never going to beat the bull briars down here, Regalo. Oh, my God. Come out like, like you went through a friggin' meat grinder. Okay, so the 75 includes 100 rounds of clays over 15 stations. Lunch and cold beverages after the shoot at NJOA Cap for each shoot. You have to bring your own shotguns and shells. Make checks payable to the NJOA. We'll get to that site later. But, John, the importance, please, of signing up early. Walk-ons can really cause a little bit of a logistics problem. Go into that, please.
Yes. So apparently last year they had almost as many walk-ons as they had signed up early.
Yeah.
And what it did is it slowed down getting people checked in. So if you can, please go online and sign up prior to the event. It will help make everything move a lot more smooth and get everybody on the line on time.
Yeah, John, was it NJOA.org? I mean, if they want to register, what's the deal? How do they sign up?
Yes. Just go to the NJOA website.
Okay.
And it's on there.
And payment and everything. And $75, listeners, it's a deal. Everything's automated down there. I'll tell you, one, the rabbit target it should be outlawed. It's scary fast. But that one station, you're actually out shooting over the Phragmites, or the metagrass, as they call it down there, out over the Mullica. When that wind, the wind switches, John, like my personality switches, like minute to minute. I've seen accomplished clay shooters shake their heads and say, what the hell is going on here, man? It's really a challenging and fun course. This is Red Wing Sporting Clay. Shout out to Roger and Danny, all the people involved in there. They've done a yeoman's job in furthering the NJOA, the shoot, wildlife management and hunting in the Great Garden State. John, the NJOA, how's it stand? Membership growing, membership static, steady? What's the deal?
Right now it's been steady. We would like to see an uptick, especially with the election cycle. Again, a big part of our job is to interact with the legislature on behalf of the sportsmen and women. And we all do this as volunteers.
Right.
We don't get paid a dime. All the funds raised are used in that effort of lobbying on your behalf. With that said, I'd also like to just put a special thank you out to all of the sponsors of the shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Station sponsors or contributors.
Hey, Zarek's right down the hall here. And, hey, he's a frequent guest at Harry Hurley's show. Literally.
Oh, yeah.
John Zarek,
yeah.
Right down the studio hall here. Well, John, let me tell you one thing. You have that fundraiser in the spring up there in, what's that, Andover, Newton area. What's that, the Black Forest
Inn? Yes, up at Black Forest Inn, we do a wild game dinner.
Because I fish Cranberry Lake and Lovers Run right up there in the spring, let me tell you something.
Yep.
I wiped out a whole tray of the venison strips. What's his name? Well, a guy came up to me, I forget who it was, but another guy says, what, it's like you never ate venison before. I said, man, I said, this is a treat.
He says, well, Heiner's a world-class accomplished chef. He works magic.
Okay, John, before I let you go, again, it's like, you know, speaking to the choir, beating a drum, the importance of getting involved. What's a membership? 30, 35? Okay, listen, I'm guilty of this too. You send in the check and leave it to somebody else. Getting involved, even on a financial end, every little bit helps. Every little bit
Absolutely.
Counts, correct? Especially
yes.
the thing getting out to vote, because when you suddenly wake up one more, like, look what happened in Europe. France finally got bow hunting back, people, by the way. Because all of a sudden, what do you mean I can't? What do you mean this passed?
Yep.
I wasn't aware of it. Be involved. Jimmy Donofrio, former executive director of Recreation Fishing Line, said, democracy is not a spectator sport. Get involved. Maybe he didn't coin that phrase, but I remember he said it on the radio, and it's incised forever in my memory, John. You have to get involved.
It's extremely important. If you like to do something and there's people out there that are trying to stop you from doing it, if you don't speak up, they're going to win.
Okay, listeners, October 18th, Sunday, starting at 9 a.m. at the Red Ring Sporting. I'm sorry, I can't wait to get there. 317 Sluies Landing Road, exit 48 there in Port Republic. Let me throw the number out there for you, 609-381-1200. You can Google it, whatever. $75 includes 100 rounds of clays, over 15 stations, lunch and cold beverages after the shoot. You're going to get NJOA cap. Bring your own shotgun and shells. And they said this for my benefit, no single shots.
There you go.
I showed up once for that. Anthony Morrow dragged me in the woods, almost kicked my ass. I said, Anthony, I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. Online registration, go to the website, njoa.org, and all the information there. John, I hope to see you then, man. You're back in my neck of the woods here. It'll be a great time to meet you, man.
I'll be down there. I'll see you then.
You take care, brother. Be good.
Have a good week.
John Regalo, cool guy. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Hey, this is Josh Henning inviting you to join me this Saturday for Hanging with Henning at 12 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN. We will preview game one of the Phillies-Dodgers series on Saturday night and break down the key matchups for Eagles-Broncos on Sunday. Guests for this Saturday show include AP senior NFL insider Rob Motti, Phillies and Eagles Spanish radio broadcaster Oscar Buttigieg, plus fantasy football analyst Andy McNamara. Hanging with Henning on 97.3 ESPN is sponsored by Tropicana Atlantic City and the Gridiron Pit, the ultimate watch and wager experience featuring high-definition TVs and table games. Powered by Caesars Sportsbook, the only sportsbook app offering you Caesars rewards. Yesterday's Creekside Tavern, with the sound on for every Phillies and Eagles game at South Jersey's best sports bar in Marmora. And Clemic Performance Method in Egg Harbor Township. That's Hanging with Henning every Saturday at 12 p.m. on 97.3 ESPN-FM and streaming live on YouTube and X in the Dr. Squatch virtual studio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, that'll do it for this Saturday on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Saturday, October 4th. Again, a happy new year. Archery season for deer open statewide. Rabbit and squirrels open. Fishing's going crazy. Salt and fresh. Sea settled down a little bit. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Get out and enjoy. See you next Saturday. Rack and Fin Radio.